Next case for argument, Jezierski v. Mukasey. Mr. Jerisic.
Good morning, Your Honors. Paul Jerisic on behalf of Petitioner Appellant. May it please the Court. This case is essentially a direct issue of abuse of discretion of the Board of Immigration Appeals for failure to reopen the petitioner's motion to reopen on the basis of ineffective assistance of counsel, prior counsel, before the immigration judge. The government, in addition to that, there are some sub-issues specifically to whether or not prejudice was involved in this matter. The government would have the court believe that no prejudice occurred, and therefore there was no abuse of discretion on account of the Board of Immigration Appeals. However, the board did rests its opinion on two impermissible bases, one of which was it relied on whether or not the petitioner produced evidence at the board level of this hardship waiver, which she alleged was one of the prejudices. Specifically, the Board of Immigration Appeals.
But look, after our Kukana decision, you have to prove an error of law in the failure to reopen. It's not enough to argue over, discretionary or factual issues. So what error of law do you think the board committed?
In this case, the board had committed two errors in law. One was relying on the petitioner to provide evidence at the Board of Immigration Appeals level where it did not have jurisdiction to even consider evidence at that level. That jurisdiction relies solely within the Department of Homeland Security or, in the alternative, upon a denial of that request within the purview of the immigration judge.
Evidence of what? I don't understand.
Of the hardship. In this case, there are three prongs of hardship under an I-751 waiver.
I thought the issue was ineffective assistance.
It is, Your Honor.
So what error of law did the board commit with regard to ineffective assistance?
Number one, it did not allow for the reopening of the case to file the hardship waiver under INA 216C4A. And that was not allowed by the Board of Immigration Appeals.
What does that have to do with ineffective assistance? Now I've lost the thread.
The prior counsel failed to file a hardship waiver before the immigration judge. Even the immigration judge was surprised, and in his decision indicated that he was surprised that this hardship waiver was not filed by the prior counsel. Secondly,
Okay, so where's the error of law by the board?
The board denied our motion to reopen on the basis that we did not provide any evidence to show that hardship waiver might amount to some sort of relief. It's not within the board's jurisdiction to make that decision, nor is it within our jurisdiction to argue it.
How can you get a reopening on grounds of ineffective assistance without showing that the ineffective assistance was prejudicial?
We are showing that the ineffective assistance was prejudicial in this case by not arguing and not providing that hardship waiver at the immigration judge level.
If it was unlikely to be granted, then it wouldn't be prejudice.
Well, there was no analysis on whether or not it was unlikely to be granted.
What did you tell the board? Did you tell the board that the reason this lawyer was ineffective is that if he had asked the immigration judge for a hardship waiver, the judge would probably have granted it for the following reasons?
We did, Your Honor.
So what? And the board didn't buy it. So where is the legal error that they didn't?
The legal error is that the Board of Immigration Appeals does not have jurisdiction to go into the analysis.
I don't understand you. How can you prove ineffective assistance as a ground for reopening without giving the board an offer of proof or something to convince them that this was prejudice?
If we
do that.
If we do so, we are outside the jurisdiction.
Look, the board decides whether to grant reopening. And under Strickland and under Lozada and under any principle of ineffective assistance, you have to show prejudice. So if you want the board to reopen your case, you have to say to the board, look, if I'd had a decent lawyer, he would have told the immigration judge X, Y, Z, and the immigration judge would have agreed. That's extreme hardship. So here's X, Y, and Z. You have to present that to the board. Otherwise, you can't show prejudice.
We presented to the board that the prior attorney failed to even consult with his
That doesn't
client.
Matter. You have to show that if the lawyer had done what he should have done, he would have discovered facts that would have persuaded or given it, but likely to persuade the immigration judge to grant the hardship waiver.
And that is what we included in our motion to reopen.
And the board apparently didn't find it persuasive.
They were looking for specific facts.
Right, and you should have given them specific facts.
Evidence at that board level, which they do not have jurisdiction
That's
to even hear.
That's not true. That's false.
But under 8 CFR 216...
how do you think you can make an ineffective assistance claim? You have to be able to show prejudice to whatever body has the authority to find ineffective assistance. And if it's the board, you have to give the board evidence of ineffective assistance. You can't just assert it.
And we did. We not only asserted, but we showed that the prior counsel failed to even
That's
consult.
That's just a half. Don't you understand? For ineffective assistance, you have to show sub-professional conduct by the lawyer and a consequence, prejudice to the defendant or the petitioner. It's not enough just to show that the lawyer did a lousy job. It has to make a difference. So you have to convince the board would have made a difference if you had a competent lawyer.
Yes, Your Honor, and we believe we did.
Present evidence to the board of that prejudice.
Well, the prejudice that we believe we presented to the board was that if she had an opportunity to file the I-751 hardship waiver, she would have shown that she had a qualifying relief under the hardship category.
Right, and that's what you have to show the board, that if her lawyer had filed for the hardship waiver, it probably would have been granted because she had good grounds for it. You've never shown that.
We believe that we gave that evidence, the necessary evidence for the board to make that decision in order to reopen the case.
What was the evidence you gave them?
We gave them evidence of her longstanding time here in the United States.
Okay, so you gave the evidence. Now you say they didn't have a jurisdiction. Forget that. So you gave them the evidence. They weren't convinced, right? So where's the error of law?
They could not have possibly made a full analysis of that evidence without the application being present before them. There was no application entered because of the prior counsel's failure to even apply for that.
You're misunderstanding fundamentally. You think that as soon as you prove that the lawyer did a bad job, you get a hearing before an immigration judge. That's not right. You have to show prejudice to the board.
We believe we did show prejudice to the board. We also believe that
What are these compelling grounds of hardship that you showed the board?
The compelling grounds of hardship are her longstanding here in the United States, more than 15 years, no ties to her home country,
well,
no ties.
Well, that's sweet. She had family there.
She has no family in Poland.
That was one of the things that they did have in both places.
They do not have ties to the home country at all, Your Honor.
And she has no family in Poland?
No family in Poland. That was on her in her affidavit and testimony during the trial court level. But we've never gotten into the actual hardships because that application has never been put before the Department of Homeland Security. That was part of the ineffective assistance of counsel.
Because everybody has hardships, everybody who applies for whatever it is, asylum or anything, because they like it here better than wherever they're going to have to go back to. That's always a hardship. I mean, you lose, 10 years, you accumulate a lot of friends and maybe business and other things. But this idea of the IJ was surprised they didn't raise it. I'm not sure what the context of that was. Maybe you can explain it.
Well, I think he was surprised that argument was probably her best argument, was never made by the prior counsel. He was surprised that was never put forth. In addition to that...
He says that at the time of the argument?
This is during his decision, yes, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to this, we also feel that the petitioner was prejudiced by the prior counsel's failure to file an appellate brief. before the Board of Immigration Appeals pursuant to his indication that he would. As we've indicated in our brief, this circuit has not addressed that issue specifically, but the Ninth Circuit has, that it may be per se prejudicial prejudice to the petitioner for prior counsel's failure to file that brief.
You say she has no family in Poland. When in her original hearing, didn't she say she had family? She had a son and parents and so on?
In 1994.
What happened to those people?
In 1994, she did, Your Honor. 15 years have passed.
Where are they all?
Parents have died, and the son has moved out of Poland, from my understanding from the witness.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Jurisic.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Bagai?
Good morning, and may it please the Court. Sherry Bagai on behalf of the Attorney General. The single issue before the Court today is whether the Board abuses discretion in denying petitioner's motion to reopen based on the alleged ineffective assistance of her former counsel. There was no abuse of discretion in the instant case because, as properly found by the Board, petitioners failed to show that she suffered any prejudice based on her former counsel's actions.
Well, so you don't argue the jurisdictional point of our Kukana case?
It is my understanding and the government's position in the instant case that the Court has jurisdiction under Kukana to consider this.
How do you reason to that conclusion?
Well, in the instant case, and as has been indicated in the Court's recent decision in Huang, it's unsettled whether a Board's denial of a motion to reopen based on ineffective assistance of counsel is a question of law. It's unsettled in this Court. And in the instant case, we believe that...
Well, does the Justice Department have a position on that?
Well, for this particular case, it's my understanding that we do have jurisdiction, but
why?
We are
so
not
you're,
arguing...
So you're deciding, you're choosing sides between these divided circuits?
Well, for this particular case, the court, the Board was evaluating whether the petitioner presented enough argument or evidence to demonstrate prejudice, and the dismissal of her appeal, of her motion to reopen, was because of her failure to demonstrate prejudice.
But look, and if is it the Board's position that if ineffective assistance, including prejudice, is demonstrated, then it will always grant the petition to reopen? Is that its position?
The motion to reopen? Well, in order to even come close to warranting that, the petition does have to, at a minimum, meet the Lozada requirements.
Right, but what's the maximum? See what we said in Kukana and Huang. If the Board has discretion, then there's no judicial review. Now, if the Board has announced a rule which says if the Lozada test is satisfied, we will grant a motion to reopen, even if it's 20 years later, then fine, that's a rule of law. But if it's still just discretionary, and if they say, yeah, ineffective assistance, but we don't think you have that big good a case, and it's been a long time, and so on and so forth, so we're not granting your petition to reopen, is that within the Board's authority?
I believe it is. I mean,
But then under Kukana and Huang, there's no jurisdiction. It's a discretionary judgment. Unless there's an error of law committed en route. What's the error of law?
Well, it's the Board's evaluation of the petitioner's presentation of her claim, of her ineffective assistance claim, and
well,
whether the Board
but
properly...
But we said in Kukana Wang, that's not an error of law, just the fact that the Board makes a mistake in the weight it gives to evidence...
If I understand the...
Otherwise, you have review for abuse of discretion, which there isn't, so...
Well, it's the government's position that in this instant case, the court would have jurisdiction. We're simply arguing that it's our understanding that under Kukana there would be jurisdiction, and since it's unsettled, the question of whether or not... the question was
well,
not
it's
reached.
It's odd the Board or the Justice Department doesn't have a position.
Well, we... at this point, have not We're not arguing that in all cases of denials of motions to reopen based on ineffective assistance of counsel that there would be jurisdiction. We're just arguing that at this point.
It just seems odd. The Justice Department hasn't taken a position. It's a recurrent issue.
Well, I know that from
cases
my
cases on both sides in the circuits, you'd think the Justice Department would have a position. Apparently it doesn't.
Well, I understand that currently we have not reached an issue on this particular issue, that only from my particular case I understand that we're arguing that the court does have jurisdiction, but in general there's no position as to whether or not in all ineffective assistance cases we're arguing jurisdiction.
You're arguing because you think there was definitely prejudice as a result of the lawyer not asserting that issue, requesting a hardship waiver?
I'm sorry.
Is it your contention that there's jurisdiction because that there would be prejudice by not asserting that hardship waiver?
Correct.
Ineffective assistance in this case?
Correct. And with regard to the petitioner's claims in this case, one of petitioner's claims is that the former attorney should have sought a waiver of the joint petition filing requirement under 216C4A, which is the extreme hardship claim. And as an initial matter, this court recognizes a strong presumption that counsel's strategy was reasonable, and the presumption has not been rebutted by the petitioner in this case. And more importantly, in the motion to reopen, petitioner presented no argument with regard to her eligibility for that extreme hardship waiver or any basis that from which the court could presume that she may have potentially been eligible had her attorney sought that form of relief. And with regard to the argument that her former attorney should have sought cancellation of removal, it's clear in the record that the immigration judge did question her during the proceedings, and she was found to be ineligible because she did not have a qualifying relative. And that determination has been waived by the petitioner in this case. She's not raised it in her opening brief to this court. And then even if the argument were to be considered, petitioner does not show that she would have been eligible for cancellation of removal. She doesn't argue that she did have a qualifying relative or make any other claim with regard to her eligibility. And finally, with regard to her claim that she was prejudiced based on the former attorney's failure to file a brief with the board, as evident in the board's decision, the merits of this case were fully considered, and the board did not dismiss the case based on the failure to file a brief. Rather, the board reviewed the immigration judge's decision and fully considered the arguments raised in the notice of appeal. And petitioner has not otherwise presented any argument or issue that the board would have considered had a brief been filed before the board. If there are no further questions, for the foregoing reasons, there has been no abuse of discretion in the instant case, and the court should deny the petition for review.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Begay. Mr. Jurisic, do you have anything further?
Thank you, Your Honors. With respect to the failure to file the brief, we believe that was the per se prejudice, but more so that the prejudice that amounted from that was the opportunity to at least expound on an opportunity to defend yourself.
Do you think that, suppose the board said, okay, we agree with you, there was ineffective assistance, there was prejudice, but we don't think this case is extreme enough to warrant granting a petition for reopening. This person has been here illegally for many years, 15 years. Would that be within the board's power, or if they find ineffective assistance, must they reopen the case?
I think once they find ineffective assistance, they have to look at the prejudice. And in this case...
Look, come on, listen to my question. If the board finds ineffective assistance, prejudice, and so on, full satisfaction of Lozada, can they still say, we don't think this is a proper case for... reopening, she's been here illegally too long, and So we're not reopening. Is that within the board's power?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
What is it that would prevent it from being in the board's power?
What
rule of law?
The jurisdictional rule of law there. They do not have the jurisdiction. Once that those prongs of the Lozada claim have been satisfied, it must be returned for a full analysis of where the error...
Full analysis. Suppose they've concluded, they agree with you, there was ineffective assistance of counsel, a violation of Lozada. They agree with you. There's no further analysis necessary. But now they say, even though it's ineffective assistance, we're exercising our discretion to deny the petition to reopen. She's been here for 15 years illegally. That's long enough, and so on and so forth.
Your Honor, I don't believe that they have jurisdiction once Lozada has been satisfied.
And what's the rule of law that says that?
I think the Lozada case.
What is the Lozada case, a case about reopening or a case about ineffective assistance?
Case about ineffective assistance.
Okay, so once, where is the rule of law that says if ineffective assistance is shown, the board must reopen? It doesn't have discretion to say no reopening.
Well, I believe that the Lozada case would hold that if it were applied to...
Is the Lozada case about reopening?
If it were applied to a reopening case.
Excuse me? You believe it would hold it?
I believe it would.
Why?
On the grounds that once the ineffective assistance of counsel, the Lozada four prongs have been satisfied, there is inherent prejudice in the case, and the board cannot make an analysis. It must go back to where the error occurred.
No. Forget
you're
the
jumping
amount.
A few hurdles.
Right. But so has the board or a court ever said, well, not a court, we know there's a division of opinion on that. Has the board ever said that if ineffective assistance is proved, we must reopen?
If it was based on an impermissible basis, and this is what we're...
No. If ineffective assistance is proved, must the board reopen?
That is our argument.
But has the board ever said that?
We don't believe that the board has ever said that. We believe the board should say that.
Okay, well, thank you very much.